24 years of broadcast, they've never been quite this bad. Why do they seem like lame ducks when their contract just re-up? Hungover, Clint's asleep, and Harvick calls it out on TV. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does Fox say? Zoom in, zoom in, zoom in more. Zoom in, zoom in, zoom in more. Zoom in, zoom in, zoom in more. What does Fox say? Crank, 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 crank it up. Crank, 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 crank it up. Crank, 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 crank it up. What does Fox say? Sorry, we just missed that crash. Sorry, we just missed that crash. Sorry, we just missed that crash. What does Fox say? Go to commercial on the green. Go to commercial on the green. Go to commercial on the green. What does Fox say?
What does Fox say? Welcome on in to the Happy Hour Podcast. My name is Trey Lyle, joined as always by singer-songwriter Michael Massey, M_Massey22. We're going to show a clip from, you know, the Fox director who always says zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, Artie Kipner. We talk about our best moments today. But I first, before we do some fun at the start, I want to give a shout out to Caleb. He's worked really hard this week. He made that new intro for us you saw at the top, as well as he compilated together the best moments. So Caleb, good job. Thank you, but you can't partake. As some of you may know, this is our 1 year anniversary of our podcast, which, if I could introduce the guest, is the reason he's on. But you know, we're going to take a birthday shot. Massey and I are, because we are above the age of 21 and Caleb cannot. Dalton in spirit is. So cheers to you. Cheers to me. And cheers to good old frontstretch.com and happy hour. So let's have a fun show.
Ready to have a blast.
Good one.
I had to throw that in there.
Just a moment of silence.
Yeah, that's called I haven't taken a shot in Captain Morgan in quite some time. But we carry on. That gets you fired up. All right. And if you're of age, if you want to take a birthday shot while you're listening to this live, not while you're driving, and if you're of age, join us. What's up, Will? Will already in the comments with a hi. As always, you can join along throughout the show in the comment section, as we are on YouTube and Facebook, youtube.com/frontstretch, as well as facebook.com/frontstretch. So leave your comments as we go along. Our guest today, he is not here yet. He's going to be late because, you know what? He's always late. And he's, you know, he is the host of Bringing the Heat with Brian Nolan. He was on the first ever episode of Happy Hour. Alongside Massey, myself, and of course Dalton, who, you know, am I allowed to say we saw his face this week? I think we are.
We may or may not have saw his face this week.
Allegedly, he looks good, so it was good to do that. But he's listening to this eventually, so we'll find out if I'm in trouble or not. Something might show up to my house one night just because I said that. All right. But Caleb's done great as well. So we're celebrating 1 year. So we'll end our show with a best moments complication. So if you followed us along the journey, what?
A best moments complication.
Oh, shoot. Maybe the alcohol's already getting to me. All right. But as I was going to say, if you have a favorite moment, drop it in the comment section. We'll try to bring it up as time goes on. So whose topic wants to go? You know what? We'll do the Massey. How about you go first this time? Because we need to get into this, and we're not going to stall for Brian, because even though he's late, you know, he's going to take 40 hours for, you know, when he talks. So let's get a topic out of the way before he gets here. So, Massey, you are up first.
Yeah, Brian might get here by the time, well, there's like 5 minutes left in the show or something, and then make us
we'll
go
see.
20 minutes over. But the topic this week that I want to talk about was, you had a lot of guys that were going for their first win of the season. One guy in particular, his first win ever. Ryan Sieg. Obviously lost in that photo finish with Sam Mayer. And then you had Ross Chastain and Tyler Reddick, both very much in the picture. I think Reddick had the best car at Texas on Sunday, and both of them lost out on a win. And, you know, Chastain doesn't even have a finish to show for it. So what do you guys think about, like, is it good they're in the picture, or is it kind of bad that they choked away a win? How's this going to impact these guys short term and long term, I guess?
It was really good to see those guys in the picture, especially Ryan Sieg. He came flying out of nowhere there. What was it, like with 15 to go, when he was passing some of the JRM guys and passing Riley Herbst and everything. And so hopefully their team can kind of duplicate that speed. I know they've had some solid top 10 runs before, but I know we're journalists, not supposed to technically root for anybody, but I think it was safe to say everybody in the garage at home was rooting for Ryan Sieg. Not that Sam Mayer was like the villain or the enemy or anything, but everybody knowing Ryan Sieg's story, it was great to see. And I feel like he was like trying to choose between being nice and racing clean, and like trying not to ruin his reputation when he was going for that win. But I feel like he should have used up Sam Mayer a little bit more there. It would have been really cool to see him get that win. But on the flip side, it was good to see some of those other guys as well on the Cup side competing for the wins. But I wish they would have been a little less aggressive on the other end. They were too aggressive, and we saw Ross Chastain spin out and Tyler Reddick slid back a little bit. So it was good to see some more. We always use the word parity with this next gen car and in the top three series. And so far this season in the Cup Series, we haven't seen too much parity, but it was good to see some of those guys back. But I wish some of Ross Chastain's aggression would have translated to Ryan Sieg in the Xfinity Series. He should have taken some notes from some of those guys that have gone before him.
Should have sent him in the wall more. And to Caleb's point, Caleb, you know, when you get to this point, you root for the best story. I think Ryan Sieg's story would have been great. Of, you know, I believe it would have been the most starts for the first win. And, you know, Ryan Sieg's story. And you think about this team, like, I think I thought about, man, they must have really used the money that they got from when Eric won last year. Eric Almirola, that is, won for this team last year at Sonoma, and it seems like they're putting it into this car, which Ryan has been really good this year, and he had a good run at Vegas, and then it turns into a good run at, you know, Texas. Unfortunately, it falls short, and yeah, absolutely. He was probably not aggressive enough. I will say this, for that type of team, it's very, even if you get the win, wrecking a race car as bad as pot, like to effectively wall ride him down the entire front stretch, that could have a bigger impact. It would basically like nullify the win from a monetary point of view. And I don't know if he was thinking that. He is technically the part owner of that team, but that's something I thought of throughout the week, but definitely probably should have been more aggressive. Ross was just made a dumb mistake. I mean, it looked like he was trying to block William and didn't judge how fast William was coming and got wrecked. Denny admitted it in his post race where he was just too aggressive on the outside. And we're going to talk about Texas and, you know, how it's like 1.5 lanes. And when you're too aggressive in that second lane, it ends up being that. And can we just, Tyler Reddick did not choke. I think we need to go off to a side point. This is the second race. Well, he sort of did, but it was more because his pit crew put him in that spot. Like, this is the second time in what, 3 weeks that a 23-11 pit crew has cost their driver at least a top five. Because you go back to Richmond, they have the bad pit stop, and it cost Bubba a top five at Richmond. Then you go to this week, they have literally the worst stop possible in the green flag cycles and lose, what was it, a 7 second lead that Reddick had? Was it essentially that, right?
Yeah, 6 seconds.
Yeah, it was a whatever. It was a big, big lead. It was a huge lead, and they lost it. So to me, like, this has now been not just this year, but, and I get this is a new team, and so they're developing these pit crews, but like, you have two drivers that are top 10 in points and have looked like it with how they've been on the track this year, and both Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace, and heck, I picked Tyler Reddick to win the championship. Your pit crew needs to be better, and they need to figure that out. in the next couple of weeks because it will cost them wins. And I mean that as a plural because it looks like 23-11, you could argue, is the third most consistent team outside of Gibbs and Hendrick this year. Like, go look at the points. They have two in the top 10. Bubba's had, what, I think three or four top fives. Tyler's been very competitive. And your pick crew, thank you, Blaine, for agreeing with me, by the way, is costing them races. And it's going to hurt them in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's, you know, Vegas was the other one they arguably could have won, where he was catching Larson. But I still think, even with the pit road issues, there was still a route for Reddick to win that race just because there were so many overtimes. But he got too high on one of those final runs and slid, you know, lost it briefly and lost 10, 15 spots. That was the thing that cost him the race, in my opinion. Whereas if, like, he hung around in the top five, he would have had restart after restart to go out there and try to get it done. I mean, Chase Elliott wasn't going to win, but he took advantage of several restarts to finally get up there. So I think Reddick could have still done that. But still, I think because of the pit road issues, you put Reddick in the spot where he had to get more aggressive than he needed to be. So it, definitely, like, you fixed the pit road issues, and it, the whole thing kind of fixes itself, I think. As for Ross, I think Ross, like, obviously he messed up and had to check up, and that's why he got spun by Byron. But I think where he really lost it, I think the old Ross on one of those restarts, restarting third, would have just sent it in there. And it would have been the, like, Clint Boyer.
DGEF tour you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. It would have been like Boyer at Martinsville that one year on Gordon and Johnson, where he just shipped it in there and didn't care what happened, and he might have won the race. But instead, it's like he didn't have that good of a final restart, and so it just kind of snowballed from there. So that's where I think he kind of choked it away. As for Sieg, I mean, my only fear, and to be clear, he did drive Mayer into the wall coming to the finish line. So he was a little aggressive. It's not like he just, you know, pulled over.
He did put him in the wall.
He did put him in the wall.
It's too late, though.
Yeah, it was too late. But I don't really know what else. Right hook Mayer? I don't know what else he could have done to really win it. He just needed to drive better those last 10 laps. Like, the line he was running was really weird. And my fear, though, is that he won't get another opportunity, like, that good of an opportunity to win a race. And, you know, that might be the one we look back on and we're like, oh, he almost won that race. And how could things have been different in his career had he won that race? I hope I'm wrong. I hope, you know, he's in the picture for many more wins. But there's the pessimist in me saying that won't happen.
Yeah, hopefully we see him up competing a little bit more. But, I mean, I think a second and a win where he's at in his career right now does kind of similar things. I don't know that a win does too much more. I mean, it does get him into the playoffs. But other than that, you also got to think, too, if he – like, Justin Allgaier was pretty close to them, so Sieg also kind of had to be a little careful, make sure he didn't rough him up too much getting off the corner and give that win away to Allgaier as well. But yeah, there's so many different stories from that Xfinity race. And I guess it was good. Like, it's still a good story that Sam Mayer, after the rough season that he's had to start, that he was able to get that win. But man, Sieg would have been so cool to see that team win.
The biggest choke job, now that you mentioned it, the biggest choke job of the weekend was Justin Allgaier. Like, he had that race won. And then he ran into Leland Honeyman Jr.
Second time this season. Yeah, well, granted, the first time wasn't his fault, but this is, no. it's I mean, you could argue Justin Allgaier is the Denny Hamlin arc of the Xfinity series.
Pretty much.
Just not the villain.
I guess you could say Herbst to some degree, JJ 48. I'm assuming you're a Jimmy Johnson fan, or is this actually Jimmy Johnson? Ooh. Could be. Ooh, interesting. Allgaier was scared.
Yeah, before, I mean, Riley was looking underneath Allgaier right there when he ran into Honeyman, and that's how Herbst won at Las Vegas last year, a long green flag run in the final stage, and he probably could have had it again if it went green to the end there.
Absolutely. You got anything else, Massey?
I see the comment there. We don't want to see Greg Mayer. There's a difference between racing aggressively for the win and wrecking someone for the win.
There's a difference between Craven Kurt Busch and like
Hamlin
what
Elliott.
Carson Hostmar did at Texas last year.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it. Like if it was a more like what Craven did to Kurt Busch, where he basically just as soon as he got to the front stretch, you know,
right.
Pun intended. Yeah. And just went into the wall. It's definitely something.
The dog. Right.
Ryan Nolan says
though.
He's on his way home, so we're gonna see when he makes it. If you want to attack him at the Brian Nolan on Twitter, what should we tell them to say? And it we don't mention it the rest of the show if someone does this.
What'd you say?
I said we should get the people watching to tweet at Brian Nolan.
Tweet at him. And just tell him he's lazy.
No,
he's
but it
lazy.
Has to be something random that he thinks is weird, and then we don't acknowledge it.
Boise State sucks?
Yes, that's it.
Tweet at the Brian Nolan, Boise State sucks.
If someone does that, you can tag us. You can tag us at TrailoffBT at @M_Massey22 and @CalebBarnes_ right here if you want. But if someone does that, I will be forever indebted to them. JJ48, we'll do this real quick. Well, we don't typically give out picks. You check out Through the Gators at with Tino Patino. It's on Fridays, but what the heck? We'll give a pick since we're sort of wasting some time. Who do you think is going to win the Cup race at Dega? Who do you got, guys?
Throw a dart at a board. I don't really know. Maybe I think Alex Bowman has another solid run at a plate track. I'll go with Bowman.
Ooh,
I think
48. Are you doing that because his name is 48?
No, I didn't even think about that. No,
pandering, Caleb.
I'm gonna go with the Ford gets their first win. Joey Logano is gonna knock his way into the playoffs this week.
I'm gonna go with the guy who's the best at Talladega in the Cup Series. Brad Keselowski. Another guy who could have won in Texas.
Yeah.
I'll go with good old BK. Thanks for that question, JJ. 48 here. So if you want to, you got a question, you got a comment, leave them in the comment section. Make sure you hit the like button and subscribe. See, we only even have one like right now. So let's get the likes up, people.
Like,
come on. It's our birthday. It's our birthday. 1 year of happy hour. It is our birthday. Can you do it for our birthday? Thank you very much. Ooh. Joe Lowe from the three line. How about that? All right. Thanks, Will.
I'm with you on that, Will. Should we
all right.
to our next topic?
Yeah, so let's go to our next topic. Caleb. Let's talk about the let's just talk about Texas. It's a track. I think that's the best way to describe it. Nicely.
Is it?
It is a track. Yeah, it's two tracks if you count the dirt track. It's
point.
I think they got maybe an infield road course, but enough stalling. So I touched on this a little bit in my Thinking Out Loud piece this week, and there's all this talk basically since we reconfigured Texas that so switch it back, bulldoze it, put new pavement down, reconfigure it to something else, whether it's going back to the old layout or transitioning to New Atlanta, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But looking at the pavement, it's starting to age a little bit. I was at the race last fall when it was super hot there. It felt like summer still. And it was a little intriguing because you can start to see guys running different lines. You can see guys running high to get a run through three and four. And then you can see them carry that because they're just about full throttle through there. You can see them carry it all the way down the front stretch, and then they'll fan out a little bit more in one and two. So Texas is starting to widen out a little bit. And I know every track has its life cycle where the repave starts out narrow, but then eventually it widens out. So is it starting to come around, or is it unfixable? We're never going to see good racing on this configuration. We need to go ahead and repave it and reconfigure it back to what it used to be.
So I have such a tough time with this one. Going into the weekend, I always said just bulldoze the place, start over, start from scratch. Obviously, they're not going to do that because that costs way more money. And as Denny Hamlin pointed out on Twitter, Speedway Motorsports has a tendency to do things the cheap way, except when it comes to Bristol, when they've paid a bunch of money to unnecessarily throw a bunch of dirt on there. but I think, so as you pointed out, as pavement ages, racing usually gets better. However, the bumps will get worse. And the bumps were already an issue this weekend. Give that a couple more years, it's going to be undrivable. Like, I think you got to do something with it now. And please, please don't make it another Atlanta, another hybrid super speedway. I'd rather stay the way it is than turn into another one of those tracks.
Just I want it to be Homestead 2.0, if I could have my say.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't know how
they would, work. I'm not a scientist, but
I mean, either that or like if they made it a short track or a shorter track, I mean, that's my favorite option.
Or they just make it Vegas 2.0. They have Vegas is good enough.
It's okay.
It's better than Texas. Like, in this car, Vegas has been good.
It has, yeah. Or like Kansas, they can make it another Kansas.
Well, I was thinking of another Speedway Motorsports track, so.
Yeah, but like their own Kansas kind of deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If they got next gen better at short tracks, then I would 100% say make it like a 3/8 mile kind of deal, you know, 4/5, something like that. Because they don't really have like a, you know, they got Bristol and then North Wilkesboro, they're both half miles, but they don't really have like a, I guess you could say New Hampshire, but maybe make something like a little smaller in New Hampshire. But that's my opinion. Yeah, I'm always favorable to short tracks.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I honestly think the way they treated this track with the PJ1 and all the other crap ruined it. You throw in the bumps, like this is the reason it's a 1 to 1.5 lane racetrack, and is because the way the track was treated, and they treated it so bad they have to start over. And the only reason, I mean, the Xfinity series can, you know, can turn a good race, like turn things into a good race, because it's just a good series. But you saw it in the Cup race. Essentially, you're playing like a 50-50 Russian roulette if you stay too wide. And that's just not going to be conducive to good racing. Like, you push someone out of the groove, they're going to spin out trying to regather it. And that just shouldn't happen, especially at 1.5 miles. So that's why you had so many overtimes late and so many cautions late in that race, is because they'd be too wide, they'd be aggressive, and then they lose the car because they can't hold it in the second lane. So ultimately with this track, like, you, with how much room they have, they can't have it as a one lane on the bottom racetrack. You need to be able to be like the other 1.5 miles that's been with this car and be able to have at least, what, 4 lanes? Like, Kansas has 4 lanes, Vegas has 4 lanes, Homestead has 4 lanes. Like, those are essentially the tracks you're comparing it to. And ultimately, I just feel this is what needs to happen in order to produce the best possible racing.
Yeah. And it's crazy. We talk about, like, should we turn it to 1 mile or a short track, or people will say New Atlanta. And again, hopefully not New Atlanta. But honestly, I feel like we need, like, we're running out of mile and a half. So it was crazy back in the 2000s, 2010s, we lost short tracks to the mile and a halves whenever those cars raced really well on the short tracks. Now we have a car that races great on the mile and a halves, and we've tore up Auto Club, and we're talking about tearing up Texas and replacing it with a short track. We've added Wilkesboro. We're trying to add Nashville Fairgrounds back to the schedule. Like, honestly, I don't know until this package gets fixed that we need to add any more short tracks. And old Texas was so good. I was at the race, the Weeper race. Oh, there he is.
About time.
What up, guys?
The show starts at 7:30, Brian.
Yeah, it's only 5:56 my time. I still got a good hour and a half.
Okay, it starts 5:30 your time.
Listen, sometimes you just got to work a couple of long extra hours.
No excuses.
You pulled an Adam cheek.
Adam doesn't work, though.
All right, let me do the formal introduction. Our guest this week is the man that host Bringing the Heat with Brian Nolan. He was one of the first people to be on the Happy Hour podcast. He was on the first episode. So we brought him back, unfortunately, at the Brian Nolan. Brian Nolan, buddy, we're talking about, this is Caleb's topic, basically what should be done with Texas, whether the reef pave should happen, how should it be treated going further. So we'll let you speak since I shouldn't have been this nice and given you the topic. I should have just let you go and see what you thought we were talking about.
I mean,
and hi to the Dutchman.
I mean, everybody's going to say it was a good race last week, but I mean, the only reason why it was good is because according to people, Chase Elliott won and there's like 25 million wrecks, and that doesn't make good racing. You still couldn't pass. So, I would say convert to a short track, but short tracks suck. So, I mean, maybe a 3/4 track like Richmond. I don't want another Atlanta. We already have too many of those. So, I mean, I'm kind of copying Jordan Bianchi's idea of a 3/4 a 3/4 mile, quote unquote, short track.
If they do repave it, I hope they leave the surface alone. Don't put any PJ1 down, because that's what's ruined the racing group. I went down a rabbit hole on Sunday night, and I was trying to watch clips to see how the groove was moving up. And once they put PJ1 on the racetrack, that groove has stayed right there ever since. It hasn't moved up. And this Sam Mayer's line this weekend, that's the highest I've ever seen a car, like going back in all the videos I can find. But Here's a bit of a trivia question on the rabbit hole that I went down. From in the 2010s, there were 9 tracks that were like completely repaved or reprofiled, if you include Bristol. How many of those tracks do you guys think they didn't? They left alone. They didn't put any PJ1 down on.
Like two.
Two. Three would be the correct answer. It was Daytona, Watkins Glen, and then Kansas was the only other mile and a half oval. I got the list right here.
So they put PJ1 on Talladega?
No,
these are the tracks that they didn't put PJ1 down on.
Yeah,
the tracks,
so they put it on Talladega.
I think Talladega was repaved. The last date that I could find was a little before.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, so the list of tracks, it's Bristol, which it worked there, but then Michigan. They put the stuff on Michigan, and now that groove, Michigan used to be able to run by the fence like Auto Club. They put it on Phoenix. They put it on Pocono. They put it on Texas. And then Gateway was repaved in 2017, WWT, whatever we call that place now. And they put PJ1 down there. So I hope whatever we do with these new tracks and these repaves in the future, please stop trying to make the racing good for those first 2 years. I know it's going to suffer, but like the payoff is such a better reward, like we've seen with Kansas.
Go in here. Let's ask the Dutchman's question. Should Chicago get a new racetrack? Maybe the return of Chicagoland Speedway. What do y'all think about that? Maybe that could be a solution here. Even though it's technically a NASCAR owned track, right?
I think so. NASCAR. I mean, let's be honest. I think the street course will go away and it will move to a different street course next year. So might as well bring back Chicago and still have a presence in the area, you know?
If we're talking SMI tracks, I'd like to see Kentucky get another try with the next gen car to see how that race is there. Because we had races there when it was the worst possible intermediate car. So, yeah, maybe next gen would actually race well at Kentucky.
That is another one they put PJ1 down on after they repaved.
How about that? All right, let's move on to our next topic. Brian, it is now your turn since you decided to finally show up. How do you want to light the beam of this episode with your topic?
I will literally leave this chat if you say that again. Exactly what you said.
Should we explain to the listeners what you mean by that?
I mean, it's just a big playoff game for his favorite team, the Warriors, tonight. They're playing the Kings, and as we all know, that tonight the beam will be lit when they win. That's all I'm saying. I was trying to set your question up. I wasn't even talking about that. I was just trying to give context, man. I was trying. I thought, you know, this is a new year, new me. I was trying to do some eloquency, bring some class to this podcast. I was taking shots at the start, you know, as I transitioned from the college kid to an adult, you know, of this podcast as I'm 1 year old. But you had to, you know, think I was trying to be mean to you. Have I ever been mean to you in our lives?
Every single day.
Wrong.
No, that's wrong. Every single day.
That's wrong.
But you know who has never been mean to me? That's Chase Elliott. That's how you go with a great segue right there.
Are you sure about that?
Shut up and let me talk. Still love you, kind of, sort of. Anyway, Chase Elliott, 42 race winless streak is gone, just like the Sacramento Kings later this evening. That's also good, so we go away. But looking at his past couple races, you do got to ask, is the old Chase Elliott back? I know we hate his blah, blah, blah back, his blah, blah, the championship contender. I want to rip my eyeballs out when I see that. But you do got to, from all the way from the end of last year, probably till the beginning of this year, it's been, and then he's heated up. He led a lot of laps Martinsville, and then he won this time around. So, I mean, question to you guys, what kind of Chase Elliott are we going to see? Is his mojo back, and are we going to see him go on like Larson and Byron and win multiple races?
I think he's back. I just think that, well, right now, if you're driving a Hendrick or a Gibbs car, you're one of the favorites every single week. And on top of that, Chase has been ultra competitive. I believe, as I'm trying to pull up Racing Reference, but you know, that site runs super slow.
You're saying this is trying to be a Massey Stack Corner?
Massey Stack Corner. Yeah, he's got three. I am right, though. He's had three straight top fives, four top tens in the last 5 weeks. And he's led races in four of the last five races. So, I mean, while he hasn't been as dominant as a Kyle Larson or William Byron, he is definitely there to compete, and he's in the playoffs now. So it doesn't even matter what he does the next 20 weeks or whatever. All that matters is that he gets hot in the last 10 weeks of the season, and he could be another champion. It wouldn't even matter that he hasn't done as well as Larson and Byron. So Elliott's back. Sound the siren and make all that unnecessary noise. Dawsonville, Georgia.
It's a great siren.
Thank you. I've been working on that.
Two thumbs down.
All right, there goes Brian Nolan. Right. Well, my turn. All right, can I talk now, Brian? Permission?
Permission granted. Thank you, sir.
Even though you have no authority over me? That was the word I was looking for.
Let's speak some correct English, buddy. Let's speak like that.
I'll kick you back out again. Or I'll do the old trick where I turned your mic down and you didn't know how to turn it back on.
It's just rude.
Leave a comment if you think I should do that. All right. Chase, yes, I agree with you, Massey. Ultimately, I saw a different kind of confidence and excitement from him after Martinsville when he finished P3. And it seemed, he seemed like he finally was stringing good finishes along, and he was like, all right, I'm back. And granted, coming off a broken leg, like, and you kind of can say the same thing about Bowman, it almost takes a full year to fully recover. And we're about at the, just past the year mark where he returned, right? It was about this time last year. And, you know, he's getting back to it. You see it in his demeanor, and I still think he has one of the best crew chiefs in Alan Gustafson. And despite what Tom thinks, I think it was a good call to keep him together, and it seems to be paying off at this point. And, you know, I think Massey is ultimately right. If you're in a Hendrick or a Joe Gibbs Toyota, you have a real shot to win every week. And I think for Chase, he was entering this weird Dale Jr. like territory, which we kind of threw around the idea, should we make that a happy hour topic the last couple of weeks? And ultimately he went to Texas. Was a flute thing. He had to win on multiple restarts late in the race. He ends the Alan Quickie Cooter's curse. And ultimately for the sport, Chase Elliott being good is good for the sport. And I think he's got his mojo back. I mean, I think he could win 2 to 3 races, and we could still sit here and say he's the third best driver at Hendrick, because two of the four best in the sport right now are on his team. And for him, I think it is now, he is finally, I don't want to say got over the fear of being the third best, but it seems like he has accepted the fact that he might not be the favorite in Hendrick each week. I don't know how to phrase that the correct way, but like, he's accepted his, I don't even say his role, but I see Chase Elliott being the number one Hendrick driver in a season? Yes. But I think he had to, one, overcome his injury, and two, overcome the fact that he was the third guy in his team for essentially the first time since what, his rookie season. So it's definitely something that he had to adjust to.
Trying to think of a way to say the same thing but different, because Chase is definitely out of his slump.
Just say Caleb Trey is really smart, and that will do it.
Never say that, Caleb. Stay away from the temptation.
Hey, one of my favorite clips later is whenever Trey tries to do math. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Bad. But so
you try to do it too, Brian.
We're not talking about me.
Anyways, all right. So I think. Chase still had a pretty decent summer last year. He was looking for a little bit, like he might be able to point his way back in, and then he just fell off the map completely. So, like you said, Trey, he's definitely got his mojo back. But I don't want to say like he's been good. But I don't know that he's back to like 2022 level where he won 4 or 5 races. I would like to see him race a little bit better on like the road courses, and like, I guess, consistently run inside the top 5 a little bit more. He has the last few weeks, and of course he won this week, but until some of the chaos happened late, he was running in the 6th, 7th, 8th range right there. He was right there with William Byron though. So they're showing the same speed. I think Dover will be a big test for Elliott. He's been great there in the past. So I think we'll see what he's really got there. And then some of these road courses in the summer stretch, Charlotte, and then some of the road courses. If Chase is running top 5, top 3 leading laps, I think he's definitely full form back to what we know Chase Elliott to be.
All right. Quickly, Brian, I do want to ask you, we'll let you talk about the first topic real quick. Overall, did you think Ryan C could have done anything else on Saturday?
I mean, if he wants to be dirty, he can just wreck him. But I mean, not really. I mean, when it's that close, if you beat or bump someone leaving a little bit more, you might hurt yourself more than you would hurt the other person. So, I mean, I think he did what he ended up could do to best save himself and the car. Just his time wasn't now. Could the time be Saturday? I definitely have would not be surprised, I should say, because he's a great super speedway racer. But man, that was, I mean, he's what, 340 something starts. I mean, that was so close. So I don't think he really could have done anything differently.
All right. Thank you. All right. Final topic. This is now Front Stretch Race Hub. Welcome on in. I'm your host, Trey Lyle. Joining me are my panelists, Michael Massey, Kyle Barnes, and Brian Nolan. Gentlemen, I will each give you either a team or a driver, and you tell me if they need to hit the panic bubble button and how, on a scale of, let's say, 1 to 10, how high their panic meter should be. All right. Starting with Caleb, I'll let you go first. I'll let you go first here. All right. RCR coming off an Austin Dillon top 10. Obviously, they've had many struggles this season. They bring in a change crew chief on the three team. Kyle Busch has not looked particularly great this season. As I pull up the points, you have Kyle Busch in 16th, and he would be out of the playoffs since Daniel Suarez is below it. And then Austin Dillon all the way down in 28th. So my question to you, Caleb, should RCR hit the panic button? And if so, where do you rate their panic level?
I think it's a pretty moderate panic level. I think they've got a couple fingers on the panic button and are starting to press down. It was good to see Austin break his streak of bad luck this weekend and finally find some good luck with the top 10 there. It's his first top 10, it's his best finish on a non-paved or on a paved track since he finished fourth at Homestead in 2022. He had a top 10 at Homestead last year, and then he finished third at Bristol Dirt. And that's basically all his success in the last few years. But Kyle Busch the last few weeks has really like surprised me because he was the flagship guy by far last year, was still pretty competitive, but he's crashed the last few weeks and brought out incidents, whether it's in practice or qualifying or in the race. And he's kind of on a streak of going for a spin and going and getting involved in an accident. And he's really had a rough go on the Cup side of things. So I think RCR, they need to search deep and find some speed, whether they're getting it from Hendrick, from Trackhouse, one of their Chevy teams that are consistently beating them every week. Cause Spire or RCR, I would even put them kind of at an equal level as Spire right now where they're running. I feel like Spire has at least been a little bit more like they've had higher highs and lower lows. RCR is just kind of right there, like lower highs and higher lows, but they're running about the same each week, I feel like.
Fair. All right. I can see that. I would maybe rank it a little. So 1 through 10, where would you, like a 5 or 6? Are you going?
For the panic scale?
Yeah.
Put 7.5.
Okay. I'd go 8, but that's, maybe. All right. Brian, you can do this one. We touched on this. He's now the only Hendrick Motorsports driver without a win. He is currently sitting, as I pull up the points, as I can't find the 48, 14th in the points. Alex Bowman.
It's getting moderately hot. You know, like when you preheat the oven and it's going like up and up and up until it gets to like 400 or something. It's like at like 250 right now. Like it's getting there.
Again, we are doing a scale of 1 to 10.
Brian does his own scale. Okay, you cannot
answer the question. So you would hit the panic button first of all.
Not yet. I said it. So, we're getting close.
So it's like a 0. Or it's like a 1.
No, it's more. God, it's more like, it's more like a 5.5. We're hitting the panic button if he gets to like Sonoma and he's still winless. Then we're hitting the panic button.
All right, fair. All right, okay. Dirty Mike. I'm assuming you know who this person
Jake.
Is.
Yeah, right. No, Jake.
All right, hey, Dirty Mike. You picked them to get their first win of the season in Talladega, but I'm still going to ask you this. I'm picking them as a whole, the Blue Ovals of Ford. Their leading pointer is Ryan Blaney at 7th. It's 7th in the points. Then you got Briscoe at 12th, Buescher at 13th, Logano at 15th. And then Brad Kay is the first driver or the second would be the second driver out if the playoffs started today. The Blue Ovals as a whole. Should they hit the panic button with this new car?
Mm, Well, first off, I want to say that that commenter, Jake, I can't repeat what he always texts me whenever a certain driver wins, but he'll know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I would say let's hit the panic button at about a 7 for Ford. Just because, like, they'll win their races. Stuff will happen for them to win. But they just lack that raw speed. They got nothing for the Gibbs guys, the Hendrick guys. It pretty much everywhere we go, they seem to be just a notch below. And you know, the same has been true for the past 2 years, I guess, and they've won the championship. So that's why I'm not giving them a full blown 10 on the panic scale. But you got to figure eventually that's going to wear off. Right, they can't keep relying on a good playoff performance to write off a horrible regular season. And this year might finally catch up to them.
There we go. All right, moving on, we'll go back to you know what? I'm gonna do myself because for this person, we're about to update the draft. Zane Smith, buddy, it's a 10, even if he's a rookie. He currently sits in 35th in points, which is dead last. He's shown no flashes this year. You compare him to his other rookie in Carson Hocevar, who's 22nd in points. And this is the guy who's supposed to replace, quote unquote, Daniel Suarez in Trackhouse. And he has just not shown it. So I'm going to put it at 10. And I might be overreacting because we're about to get to the draft and he hasn't done, you know, I can't say that word for me, but yeah. So, and finally we'll do a group one. This is interesting. Corey LaJoie, speaking of Spire Motorsports, he's currently 29th in points compared to his teammate in Carson Hocevar is 22nd. You could argue maybe that LaJoie should be the front runner for this team, given he's not the rookie, but he's not, he's getting outperformed by Hocevar each week. Any panic level, We'll do a quick hitter on all of them. So Massey, you can go first.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with about an 8 or 9 for Zane and a 10 for Corey. Zane, you know, we saw another hotshot rookie last year get replaced in Noah Gregson, who had similar results to what Zane is doing this year. So job ain't exactly safe.
Could go to SDG.
Very well, good.
Caleb, Brian, quick.
Corey's got to be, I wouldn't put him at a 10, but I put him at an 8. He's been better in the past, and he just, I don't know where his speed from last season went, but it's not there. He's made a lot more mistakes this year.
Corey, about a 9. Very disappointing so far. I thought he'd be a lot better. Zane, I mean, I expected a lot. I didn't expect him to be this god-awful, so I'm going to go like a 8.5, but way more disappointing than Corey.
All right, there we go. All right, speaking of Zane Smith, the draft update. All right, currently in the lead by 4 points is Tom Bowles.
It's close.
Second is Michael Massey, but guess who's coming back? Actually... So, you know, I have the second most wins in the group right now with 3. I just want to point that out. Someone is dragging me down, and the reason I gave him a 10 is because he's dragging me down very much so. But I'm in third at 1140. I have now completely pulled away from Brian, who's sitting at 1098. So, Brian, you're just, how does that feel?
My face says it all, Trey.
You didn't understand the rules of the game, so that's why it's like this.
Yeah.
Hey, your lineup will be good this week.
Girl, you're not wrong there. I got a shot.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. So that will do it for our topics. All right, fellas. It is our birthday, as I take Brian out of the solo shot. Caleb has put together, as I need to pull it back up because it went away, the best moments in Happy Hour. We're going to watch this, and then we'll chat about it quickly before we wrap up the show. But let's look at this beautiful, beautiful video that Caleb put together.
Get the tissues ready.
If you guys have ever seen NASCAR's rule book, it's only gotten larger and larger since the last time you saw it. There's a reason for that. It's because everybody's cheating.
What? What?
Oh my God. Let's drink to that, everybody. Like,
glass shatter, mind blown.
So I think that the real place that Xfinity should be going is right down the road at old IRP, or what's it called now? Lucas Oil Racetrack of Indianapolis Raceway of Parking of Lucas Oil National Raceway now, or something like that.
It is Charles Moneypenny.
Oh, come on! Who would have gotten that? Are you kidding me?
I love how it's all made up an obvious answer and then got like the most difficult question on the board.
Mr. Lives in Daytona.
Charles Moneypenny.
It doesn't even seem like a real name.
That's not even a real name.
That's what Wikipedia said, so I'm going with it.
Oh, Wikipedia. Check this man's credentials.
All right. Tom doesn't have the balls to say it, but congratulations to Chase Elliott, the dumbass of the year. So in our front stretch Slack, someone has edited, if you look closely, Tom bolts into the background of the photo.
Is it because I talked about seeing you naked this weekend?
No. What?
So is it good?
Yeah. How's this for your sound waves?
When Daryl Walter first proposed the vortex theory to you, what were your thoughts? Because you know, we are talking about the rain.
The vortex theory?
Yeah.
Okay, I love DW. Right? I love DW. I do not follow his science. I've ever done in the vortex theory is laugh.
What he said at Bristol, I just beat your favorite driver. What an amazing quote. What'd you say?
I said it's a bar.
Bar! A bar? Bar!
Do you know what that means?
No, go ahead.
It's like, you know, how there's like rap, when you rap, they're called bars.
Bars!
So like it's a good line.
Oh, okay.
Get hit, boy.
I want those people watching this on video to see when Trey says bet on something, he has blank walls behind him in this office. I don't see anything purchased. I don't see any trophies. I don't see, he's got a plaque.
He's got a degree. Whatever.
He's got a degree. May have been purchased on eBay.
Mine's in a cooler in my closet. Everyone has those now.
All right, now I got to do some math. All right, so Caleb, you have 200 going into Final Jeopardy.
One, two, three, four, five.
Trey, I can tell you how much I've got.
Tom, I have 3,100. Is that right?
Me?
Yes.
At 3,100, I have 2,400.
Okay, I'm bad at math. All right.
Does that count as our bracket getting busted last week?
I just want to mention this. If I had to pick one singular race as the best, I'm picking the 2001 Pepsi 400. Y'all can use that information like you want, but I'm just saying.
There's a fight between Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison.
No! Y'all are not doing this!
Let's go. 1979
Daytona 500.
No! This town hosted one NASCAR Cup Series race in 1964. Which was won by Fireball Roberts. This town is best known for a famous golf tournament.
And so, anybody who didn't have that answer can now just say Augusta and get it right. I put it down also. Yeah, there it is.
I'm very annoyed with myself. 2000, what is Myrtle Beach?
That is incorrect!
Why?
This game is rigged. Congratulations, Josh. You've won the Monaco GP.
I feel like I'm the first one to win it with a mullet.
Josh Williams, let's face it. I mean, he's going to run for president one day. So it's only natural that he parks the 92 car the 92 DGM Racing Chevrolet on the White House lawn, and he walks right inside. And then, you know, Secret Service receives him, and then he starts running the country. And then we see 8 years of just, you know, nonstop success for the country.
How mad, Jock, do you think the people who maintain the lawn would be when you do your donuts right there in the White House lawn?
I'd actually be willing to find out.
I'm just scared what that splitter would do to that White House lawn.
Oh, wait, hold on. I gotta get both.
You mother...
Sorry, it's at 4%.
I hate you so much.
I'm sorry, it's at 4%.
Leave this in. Leave this in.
Yeah.
I hate you so much.
Leave this in.
This is what happens, like, every day in Brian Nolan's world. I just want everyone to know this is like a normal experience in the world.
Leave it in. I want listeners to start, like, hearing, like Massey's voice, and then they just hear Brian go, oh,
okay, we're all good.
I hate you so much, Nolan. Well, there you go. My feelings about Nolan have not changed, except I just won't curse because we are live. But, gentlemen.
You say that John Newby has seen Massey naked, and that's very disturbing.
Not that, me. I think that was Dalton.
I legitimately spit, like full projectile spit, when he said that. So we do want to give a shout out to all our guests, John Newby, Kale Vestal, Josh Williams, Artie Kepner, Davey Siegel, more from him soon, Peter Strata, Noah Lewis, Jonathan Field. Who else am I missing? Jared Haas, Steven. I think Steven was on for an episode. Obviously, our boss, Tom Bowles. If I'm missing anyone else, tweet at the Brian Nolan, because it's his fault. But shout out to all our guests. We're hoping to get more as time goes on. It's going to be fun. And gentlemen, Massey, you've produced a year of songs, so you can make an album now. Album 2 coming out starting next week. Caleb's actually been here. I know I've said this before, but Caleb's also been here since the start. Every one of those videos you saw that get posted to social media, Caleb has made. So Caleb's been here since the start. And Brian's just here. And we're kidding, Brian. Thank you, Will. We appreciate all our listeners. If you're listening to this, watching this live on YouTube, if you watch it at any point on YouTube, you're listening on the social feed, you can tweet us at frontstretch, at TrailLVT, at @M_Massey22, at the Brian Nolan, and at Caleb Barnes _, and at, actually, I don't know what he's changed his at PitLaneLT. He might not see this till he comes back, but we do miss Dalton Hopkins. He is here in spirit because this was his idea. Massey and I are just holding on to it till he gets back. So we do want to give our good buddy Dalton, who's going to listen to this, a really big shout out, because without him, this podcast doesn't exist. I'm not here at Front Stretch. And we do want to give a shout out to that. Gentlemen, any final thoughts on this year, and before we get on out of here?
You're always in my ear holes every Wednesday, so I appreciate y'all.
I hate the way you phrase things.
Why? Why are you the way you are?
Am I wrong, though? You are.
I'm just going to ignore that. The past year has been...
I still hate him, folks. I still hate him.
I didn't say anything that wasn't true.
Just anyway, go ahead, Massey.
The past year has been a blast. If you told me that someday I'd be talking on a podcast where we just goof off and talk about NASCAR and make each other laugh, and I get to make goofy songs each week, I'd have never believed you. So thank you to Tom and everyone. Thank you, Trey. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Brian and Dalton, all for making this possible, helping me live out a dream and just have a blast every Tuesday night. Thank you, all the listeners, too, for listening and commenting and liking and subscribing.
It's been fun being in the scenes for a little bit. I don't have quite the free time that I did last fall to do all the fun editing and stuff. I did a lot of editing for the Jeopardy. That one was fun, and the awards show. But it's, I'm glad to be on the show now for a little bit, just kind of helping hold down the fort. And yeah, thanks for having me on these past few weeks.
Jeopardy's coming soon. Whenever Tom gets back on, it might be next week. Tom might be on next week, and so we might do Jeopardy next week. Might do it later in the season. That's going to be hard by Trey to come up with all the questions. Heck, I might make the final Jeopardy question the same and see if he gets it. I'm thinking about that.
Probably won't.
You know, to be fair, if I asked that question, I made it really obvious. Like, I made it really obvious. So, you know, James Harden, Bulls, choke Jeopardy away. Before we get on out of here, Madison and I definitely want to do this. Today is obviously April 16th, and a day for us that is always a memory as both Virginia Tech graduates. So we want to end the pod. It's always tough ending the podcast like this, but we do want to, you know, share a moment, think about those 32 families, and today always being a very, very rough day. I will always have vivid moments of this day. I'm not going to be here to tell my side of that story of, you know, today in 2007. I know Massey has a similar story that I do. But, you know, our love for Virginia Tech is, you know, just as deep as our love for racing. So we definitely went into the podcast with a shout out of that. All right. Coming up this week, Brian Nolan's conversation with Braden Laster of the Arkham and Ars series. I'm hosting Bring the Heat for Brian because it is prime grass cutting season for him. Massey, are you doing Fire on Fridays?
Not this week. This week I'm going to Long Beach for my IndyCar debut.
We broke down the entire Front Stretch family with you and Jack Swansea are heading to Long Beach. I hope you catch some waves, bruh. By the way, another favorite part of my video was the different progressions of your hair from, you know, Mountain Man. I think I had the same kind of thing with the big beard, but and I with the different hair, facial hair was great. Also, Caleb,
Trey, it looks like Trey's lost weight too. You look good, buddy.
Wow. You giving me a compliment. I'm shocked. All right, Caleb. Thank you, Brian. Caleb, are you doing Thinking Out Loud again this week? I know you just did Thinking Out Loud. Yes. Every other week, right?
Yeah. It's every week. Every Monday every Monday after the race.
All right. And Brian, you just have your conversation that, and I'm hosting the podcast with Wyatt Watson. Also, we have Through the Gears with Tino and Stock Car Scoop on Sunday after Talladega with Mr. Adam Cheek. All right. We apologize if you saw something that Brian did. Hopefully this video does not get demonetized, but if it does, it's Brian's fault. What?
I didn't do anything.
Okay, sure. We can review the tape and I can show you what you did. For Brian Dolan, for Caleb Barnes, for Michael Massey, my name is Trey Lyle. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or subscribe wherever you get the podcast, part of the Front Stretch Podcast Network. Thank you so much for listening to Happy Hour.